This is the CSIS Global Health Interview Series at www.smartglobalhealth.org.
We are here today with Ambassador Paula Dobriansky, former Undersecretary of State for Democracy and Global Affairs, former co-chair of the U.S.-Afghan Women's Council, and senior fellow at Harvard University's Belfer Center for Science and International Affairs. Ambassador Dobriansky is here to discuss women's health in Afghanistan and efforts to further empower women and children.
Thank you. I'm very pleased to be here.
Afghanistan has one of the highest maternal mortality rates in the world. Can you walk us through why this is the case and what strategies the U.S. can adopt to help mitigate the problem?
Right. Thank you. Well, Afghanistan endured decades of war and conflict, and that resulted in a society that was virtually devastated in all sectors. And the health sector was one of many areas which suffered significantly. Literally, all members of the population had been affected by this in terms of a lack of very good access to health care. But specifically, as you asked, why is it that it has the highest maternal mortality rate in the one of the highest maternal mortality rates in the world? Specifically, it was because of the decades of war. It was as a result of that, the fact that you did not have healthcare workers, those individuals who could reach out, help women in society. You also have a high rate of illiteracy in Afghanistan. So even if you did not have the healthcare workers, women did not have the capacity, particularly in the rural areas, to be able to get information, to read, to better themselves, and to be better informed in this area. I would also say that Afghanistan has been previously somewhat geographically isolated. That also, I think, has contributed significantly to this particular phenomenon. And finally, I would also say that particularly during the time of the Taliban, as we know, women could not go to a doctor or to a physician unless they were accompanied by husband or a brother. So that also impeded such kind of easy access. Finally, just even the capacity, resources. Afghanistan has been, because of the conflict, because of decades of war and turmoil, it has not had the kinds of resources and ability to establish a health infrastructure.
Great, thank you. So the U.S. Afghan Women's Council was formed in order to promote education and economic empowerment for women in Afghanistan. How can this agenda intersect with the goal of improving the health of Afghan women?
Well, first, the U.S. Afghan Women's Council was launched by both Presidents Bush and Karzai in January of 2002. Significantly, the Afghan women were the ones who set the agenda. And there were four areas that they put as forward as their priorities. The first being economic empowerment, education as a second. And this, by the way, was not in rank order. These were all top priorities for them. Then there was the area of legal rights and a better understanding of their rights. And then health. Now, for them, they saw all of these as top priorities. And in fact, as relevant to your question, that in agenda, in fact, was integrated for them. They saw that as they would have access to education, that the rates of literacy would increase significantly there, and in turn, you would have women who would be able to be better informed, be able to read materials. So those, I would say that these areas really are integral and integrative. The education side was very important, and it was important not only in terms of their bettering themselves, but at the same time in learning more about healthcare and having access to healthcare. In terms of economic empowerment, it was very striking to me the fact that on one of my first visits in one of the first council meetings at that time, we only met a few young women who were trying to set up a micro enterprise bank operating in Herat. The next year when we came, there were about 80 to 100 women owning their own businesses. And then one of our last visits to Afghanistan in 2008, we witnessed the women setting up a federation of women business owners. All of them said that the investments that they were making in these businesses is not only about getting resources and monies, not only for themselves personally and their communities, but also they saw it as an opportunity to network, which feeds into the health question, because many of them did apply resources and got resources toward better health care, but they were also able to network and compare notes as women entrepreneurs. So all of these issues are integrated and ones which are top priorities for Afghan women.
Speaking of women business leaders, the U.S.-Afghan Women's Council has unique experience in developing a public-private partnership and now has transitioned to exclusive private support. Can you describe the challenges in making that transition work?
Well, I would put it this way. The U.S.-Afghan Women's Council has moved out of government, and it is in the hands of Georgetown University. But it will still remain a public-private partnership. The difference is that the private side will lead predominantly the direction of the agenda, and in turn will still look to the U.S. government and the Afghan government to participate and to be part of it and to support it. But at the same time, it is looking at reaching out to many new interlocutors. And I think that it's going to be extremely successful. Already yesterday, on April 16, Georgetown University convened one of its first formal meetings of the council, and specifically the subcommittee on health issues. Shamin Jawad, the Afghan ambassador's wife, this is the Afghan ambassador to the United States, his wife was present there. You had also Ambassador Milan Verveer, who's newly appointed by Secretary Clinton, Secretary of State Clinton, to head the global women's issues. And you had a number, a very good number, of private sector entities that many of which had already been working in Afghanistan. Georgetown is setting as one of its priorities to better network among all of these entities. For example, one of the organizations that was present yesterday was the Abbott Foundation. They're doing significant work in this area and have been on the ground for a number of years. So from that standpoint, I think that here the transition will be a very smooth one. It already is a very successful one, and one that is going to expand particularly its outreach in the private sector and involving organizations that are already on the ground in Afghanistan and where they could come together and assess and evaluate what are the best ways of going forward. I'm very excited, and I also was present at that meeting for a portion of it and just very excited by the energy and by the new initiatives.
And finally, Ambassador, what can the new administration do to ensure that improving the health of these women remains a priority during, undoubtedly, a very complex time with the global economic recession and the ongoing security concerns?
Well, first, I think the very strong support that has already been manifested by Secretary of State Clinton is important. She, in her testimony to Congress for the position of Secretary of State, referenced the importance of helping women worldwide, no less women in Afghanistan, and she cited the U.S.-Afghan Women's Council. Her ambassador for global women's issues, I think, has demonstrated a strong commitment here. So I'm confident that in terms of the issue being high on the agenda, that it remains so. In addition, it's very clear that what USAID, the Agency for International Development, it also has this area as a priority. Healthcare worldwide, and specifically in Afghanistan, because of the figures of where Afghanistan was in 2001, and now where it is, and how they want it even to improve even further, particularly in areas like maternal mortality. I think that they are looking at cost-effective ways, ways of partnering effectively with the private sector, and also building upon relationships with other countries that are also operating in Afghanistan to make sure that this is targeted and sustainable. Finally, I will add that the Minister of Public Health in Afghanistan, Dr. Fatemi, is someone who has always looked at programs that are sustainable and long-term. Those are the best ones to be supported because those are the ones that will, despite changes that happen in our world at large, that will have a longer-term beneficial impact for not only just the women of Afghanistan, but for the future health of Afghanistan at large.
Ambassador, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us. And to hear more about women's health in Afghanistan, listeners can go to the CSIS website at www.csis.org for Ambassador Dobryansky's full speech at CSIS.
This has been a CSIS Global Health Policy Center podcast at www.smartglobalhealth.org.